Well, hello. My name is John Klein, and first of all, please forgive me if I jump from a British to a Southern to an Illinois accent. I'm really intrigued by accents, and so whenever I listen to somebody for more than 6 seconds, I start talking like them. So my name is John Klein, and thanks for coming today. We're going to talk about online communities, and we are with a company called Enthusiast, and your very own DragonCon.com is one of the websites that we have produced. And so we want this to be a very dialogue-oriented presentation. Feel free to move forward if you wish. And raise your hand and ask questions and stop us when we're speaking too fast because we are from Southern California. So we do that sort of thing sometimes.
So if you hear an occasional dude in there every once in a while, that's perfectly normal for us.
Please forgive us. Why don't you guys kind of give a history of where we've come?
You want to do it, John?
Introduce yourself.
About a year ago, it was actually over a year and a half ago, Jonathan and his brother Marcus, who's back there on the video camera, were, and I was not as actively involved, but they were involved in a group called CountingDown.com. They were a website which was centered around lining up for the Star Wars movies that were coming out. And if you haven't heard of the Star Wars movies, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place. We went down there and we started hanging out with these guys, and these were guys that were from all over the world that had come together to stand in line for, 7 weeks or eight?
Six weeks.
And it was amazing. We were shocked and surprised that here was a bunch of people that we'd never met before. And we had, these guys were camping out. I was coming down and visiting. We were going out to dinner, watching movies. And we thought, this is such a wonderful sense of community. How did they do it? What did they do? And we talked to ourselves and we're like, well, can we do this too? Because we both like, a lot of different things. And so we decided that what we really liked was Tolkien, and that we heard that, there are the movies coming out and that would provide, some type of force. And we thought, why don't we put together this community based around the Lord of the Rings? In about April, we started putting together the Lord of the Rings community, and we were pretty happy that it was, our 50 people were coming a day. We were pretty happy. But the thing that really shocked us was when we started getting offers from companies to buy us out. That happened within the first 2 or 3 weeks of us being up, which really shocked us. So over the next couple of months, we really grew the community through different methodologies. But in September, what really happened was we're starting to run out of time in our own personal lives, and we were also starting to we really started to analyze why we were so successful. Here we were, was a hot web property. We were being offered a lot of, what we considered good money, stuff that we could actually do the website full time. We wanted to know why were we successful and what could we do to make that grow. And we really identified it as because we loved what we were doing. And the people that were coming to the site were really loving the fact that we were loving what we were doing. It wasn't a job for us. It was something we were passionate about. And so we started to ask ourselves the question, well, if we were going to turn this into a job and we weren't going to sell out, how could we do it as a job? How could we do this as a type of business? And we came down to is that we have to allow other people to do what they love as well. How do you get someone else to do something that they love? I mean, our lives are full of different conflicting desires, and we any one given time in a day, we're going to sit there and we're going to choose something, and it's usually going to be the thing that we desire the most at that time, unless, of course, we have responsibilities to fulfill. In this case, we have some conflict there, and that's where, the day-to-day choices come up. So how do we leverage other people to do what they love? We started in October then, after we had, done some market research on the people that are coming to our site, and we had, read a bunch of stuff that was out there, and started to really develop what we were calling the Eon Technologies, Enthusiast Online Technologies. And these were a group of technologies which took and cemented the philosophies that we had and put them into a website, and we started to transition our website over into this. At the same time, also, we started to look at areas that we love to do as well, but also we started to look at, as far as our beta test, what are some sites that other people love, our friends would rather have something blow up on them than it would blow up on us. And if we were going to start selling this thing, it would be rather that they blow up on our friends than blow up on someone we have no idea. So we ended up talking them into working with us. And back about March or so, March or April of this year, we finished the development of the technology. And we're just now starting to roll out several of the other sites. We have a bunch of sites that are coming out. We have a C.S. Lewis site, kind of to go along with the Tolkien site, of course. We have a Matrix site that's coming out. We have a Longboarder site for people who, you know, we're Southern California guys, so, you know, that's very fitting for the community we live in. We have a couple, car sites, truck sites, a bunch of these different things that we've put together to enable people to do what they love. We were contacted to come here because of our involvement with the Tolkien site. And when we started talking with the powers that be here at this conference, they suggested, you know, we ended up, I should actually let John talk about that now, because he was the point man on the communication with here at DragonCon.
Well, first of all, I'd like to reiterate that we, although we may be buzzword compliant up here, we by no means have the corner on this market. And we're learning, just like anybody else, what it means to maintain relationships, you know, through passing electrons. And so I just want to reiterate that we're open, you know, to that. And we just want to help, you know, explain to you and convey what we have learned by our experience being over a year now, which on the Internet is kind of a long time, and from where we've come. So, Ed Kramer, the director of this event, he's a neat guy, and I just called him up because we thought we'd like to come out to this. I've never been to anything like this in my life. My geography isn't even that good. I thought Georgia was a little more north, but I'm quite fortunate it's not. But either way, I just asked to advertise at this site, you know, to reach people like yourselves. And Ed saw our websites and the signature of my email and went, checked them out, and that started a dialogue. So I'm glad to be here, but I'm really kind of shell-shocked, and I'd like to talk, you know, I think talking about us is really neat and stuff, but I'd like to kind of move into the philosophy of what we feel and by experience we've used that really shows how you can generate a quality community online that really keeps people around. Because there's a lot of, you know, like you guys are here and some of you might be thinking, okay, I've been here 15 minutes and now I want to leave. Okay, feel free to do that. We're not going to be offended, okay? But in the same way online, there's the same mentality. You know, if you're on a website and you're on your, 56K modem and the page doesn't load in about 7 seconds, you're out of here. You know, it's like at least we get 15 minutes with you personally, right? But 6 seconds and you're done. And then let's say the page comes up quickly and it's all in hot pink, you know, it's like you're not going to stay around. And then if it's not functional and it has nothing but incomplete misspelled sentences, I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff that has to be in line. And so all those things, as well as the behind the scenes to make a site be available all the time so that people aren't just breathing down your neck because they've come to rely on you and you're not up, your site's down, things like that. So I think the most important thing that we've learned about community is leverage. And leverage being, you guys, I don't know if any of you are in multi-level marketing, but that's their buzzword, you know, leverage. Make money off other people. Well, we're talking about not making money off other people. We're talking about letting other people take control, taking the corporate model of top-down, I'm going to disseminate the information, and you are going to read it, and then you're going to go home, be content, or buy my product, or whatever. Rather than flipping that upside down, saying, okay, that's not going to keep people around. You're going to come, and you might like what we have about J.R.R. Tolkien on our website, but then if you can read that and say, you know, I have 58 poems that I've written on The Hobbit here, and man, I love it when people give me feedback about these things. If you could contribute that within the first 8 seconds of coming to our site, and then you get thousands and thousands of responses, That's powerful. And that was our goal, is to leverage content, comments, feedback, and to empower users like yourself and everyone who comes to the site. They're all on the same plane. We want to give control away. So one of the methods that people use sometimes is email, right? If you have an article or something, you email it to them. Great. That's really neat if we have about 25 hours in a day to take these emails and then, you know, copy and paste them into our proprietary systems and put them in the database, if you use a database. Or let's just type them into static HTML and grow our system. We didn't choose to do that. We found that if you, as a user, you're a computer user, you're knowledgeable, you have the information and technology you need, let's just build a system that you can type it directly in. You can put it straight in the database from your browser. As soon as you submit it, it's ready to go. Because if it's not easy, you're not going to use it. So that's one of our things. I'm going to start looking at my paper now. So that's our thing, is that we chose leverage. The best way that's going to make you come back is if you come back and you see a piece of yourself on the site. If you take ownership of it, you're more likely to come back, you're more likely to tell your friends, and you're more likely to contribute more, which in effect helps everybody else, because now the content is becoming more and more rich every day because everybody's contributing and it's growing. And that's the essence of community, is because that information will then grow into relationships, is that your poetry now becomes renowned. People look for your name. People search for your username. They want to see your poetry. They want to see your images. And you get feedback on how to make it better and such. So that's kind of the leverage element. Yeah, right. So from there, we kind of migrated and said, okay, if people are giving content to us, there's kind of a small liability there. Slander, copyright infringement. There's a lot. When you're online, you know, the laws are now being kind of set, but the last few years they were very fluid, and it was kind of depending on the mode of the courts, or whether you know, people didn't know. And so with that, you need some serious quality control and some disclaimers, because it's good to keep a community around, but if your community contributes things that are unlawful, illegal, you're not going to be around very long. So it's very important to have that quality control. And our system, using a database, since it's in the database already, it has to be submitted and then approved in order to go up. And I'll illustrate all this stuff in a minute. I just want to go over it. So there's leverage and there's quality control on that stuff. And then rewards and incentives, such as, have any of you heard of Hotbar before? Like they make an image behind your browser window, like up here. And it's really simple technology, actually, and they're making like millions off of it. It's amazing. And what we did and found very successful was just to have contests regarding those things, because people love to be creative. They love to contribute their content, and as well as make images, and they're just really passionate about those things. And so creating incentive programs for people to contribute, prizes, those sort of things. And all that, I think, contributes to the main element of this community is the content. That you can have the sweetest look, design to your site, the greatest slow-loading graphics. But if people can't dive in to your content, if they can't, I guess it's, if they can find an end to it very quickly, then there's no incentive to really stay around. And that's the incentive to have people give you their content, because you guys know about, is that a propeller on your hat? So you know about prop hats, is that what they call those?
Beanies.
I don't know. Beanies. Okay. In California, beanies are like the, because we get snow out there, I guess. So you know about those hats way more than I would. Right, and so if we have something regarding those hats, I can say that they're neat and I like them green. But you can elaborate because you love them. You probably have 12, 15 of them, Yeah, some with dual, triple propellers. Get a little lift in the wind. So that's our goal, is that we want to make you excited about sharing with us your expertise. And I think in general that if we were to come together just in a room together here and we're to stay here for a while, what's going to make you stay in the room and not want to leave? Well, you need to feel valued. You need to feel encouraged. You need to feel like what you say counts. And the same thing occurs on the internet, that if we don't let you speak, if we don't let you give, if we don't leverage what you have and let you be enthusiastic using our kind of using our technology or not, then either you're going to have no incentive to stay. And that's kind of like my banner here is that leverage and that community. So I think with that, I can show you kind of technically how we have chosen to model these things. Now, once again, we don't have a corner on the market. And any of you afterwards can come up to us and ask us. We do give our platform to people, kind of a soapbox, that if you have something to say, you can stand on our soapbox and we'll amplify it for you. This is what we've chosen to do it, and we welcome your comments and everything like that. But let me move this over here. Do you guys have anything to add before we...
Not currently.
Not currently? Okay.
You, huh? You did a good job.
I'm flattened. Try my left hand here. So I'm going to take you... There's two parts to this. One is the interface for the users. And it really needs to be simple, you know. If something is really advanced, then you're really going to get a niche market. You know, if we pointed our website to 2,600 readers, you know, the Hacker Quarterly, then we're going to get some cool people that know a lot of their stuff, but we're going to get about 20 of them. And we really need to talk about the masses and including and involving people. So it really needs to be simple. And so I'll take you through just really quickly Tolkien Online as an example of how you can go there and let's say we want to contribute an article, okay? So we'll bring Tolkien Online up here. Can you still hear me if I'm just right here? Okay. And we'll go to the enthusiast section here, which is kind of the portal. Everybody goes to the same place for everything regarding submitting content. And I think I need to log in here. And that's another thing too, is obviously we have to, you'll see banner ads on the site, and some people don't like that. Some people like it. What we're trying to do is, in a community, these communities are very specific, and I think that's important too, is to keep the content very localized. And with that, normally those people are interested in similar things. And so giving them, you know, WWF banners when they're really not interested in wrestling is not always effective and sometimes detrimental to what you want to do. And so we ask people what they like when they sign up to contribute content, so that every page view that goes by, we know who they are, and so that we don't give them WWF ads if they don't like wrestling. And you saw I just logged in right there, so that it said, yeah, you're a member, and now you can contribute content. It's part of the quality control. So I'm going to submit an article here, and it's going to take me just to a simple browser-based interface that will just take me step by step through a process of contributing this article. And this could be anything, a poem, you know, like from DragonCon here. If we had something to say on the site to the users, it only takes 2 minutes to do it. We're about 3,500. This is a small little Java applet here. That's what's once we download it once, it'll be done. And I recommend as well that that you use a database. If you desire to do an online community, a database is a powerful tool. Without it, your searching capabilities, your just your archiving capabilities, your backup, everything is just made much more difficult. And if your site ever crashes, God forbid, getting it back up with all of that content is very hard. So I would recommend that. What we're going to see, what we're supposed to see here, mind you, is kind of an outline of sections. That with that database, everything will need to have a section. It has to be, if there's so much content, it has to be organized somehow.
The job is not getting through.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can just default it here. Fabulous. That's a great idea. It works in IE too. Feel free and say something if you wish.
We're still working on ways. The one thing about Enthusiast is that our technology is constantly growing, and so the capabilities we have right now are really only the tip of the iceberg of what we want to do and what we want to bring to a community website, and what we think community websites should be. We're even looking into for instance, usernames and the registration process. We're looking into giving it more of a role-playing aspect in some specific sites, whereas depending on the types of content you submit, what your involvement is in a message board and the different parts of message boards, things like that, where you're building up an identity by that, and you're building up your level of play almost in the whole website. And a lot of people just really enjoy that whole aspect of it, and I think that's a really important part of community. And the internet is based on anonymity, and the anonymity in that community is important, but you're also letting people know part of yourself, and I think by having that sort of aspect to the to your character, as it were, at times, then I think it helps a lot to build that community up.
Yeah, for everything that's contributed to the site, there's articles, graphics, message board content, all that stuff is kept track of, and not necessarily like Jonathan was saying, it's to if somebody's always contributing to the fact section of the message board, then you might want to go to ask them a question, and you might not want to go and ask somebody who's only putting artwork up, but if someone who's got an art question, you might want to go to that person and ask them a question. And the way that that's the way that we're tracking that is that everything is contributed. Right now, we only have the reward system set up for the message board. So every time every 10 messages that are posted, they get a little icon that's attached to their identity, and that icon will stay with them. And there'll be different icons for the different for artwork, and there'll be different icons for the different articles. Now let's see if Java likes Netscape
6.
Netscape likes Java.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Okay, let's try another one here.
Is it turned off? Is it turned off, John? In IE?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm gonna try to. I just tried that one. It's our, Java.
The problem that we're having is that dynamically on each site, sections can be added and subtracted. We have a very similar system. We liked the way that Yahoo has their different sections where you have you start off in books and you go down to, British literature, and then you go down to children's literature, and then you go down to, like for our site would be, Lord of the Rings. So we have that in there, and the sections can be dynamically added and subtracted. But to do something along those lines, it requires a Java applet, which we have here that's loading, or it's supposed to be loading. and that will track, that will show you a whole tree structure of the entire site based on where you want your content to end up in.
Once again, the benefit of a database. Now, there's kind of a, it's important to, when you think about community online, it's the same way as if you thought about a city, if you wanted to generate a city. You can't just say, well, if we want to generate a city, we just need houses for people to live. Well, you need houses for them to live, and then you need, you know, water and electricity in those houses, and then you need streets in order to get them to and from the house, and then that you need, you know, to have garages that fit a wide variety of cars. So there's a lot of stuff involved, and we've kind of had to learn it sometimes the hard way, but most of the time it's been pretty smooth. That you know, if people are going to contribute a lot of content, then you have to have a really simple way to organize that content and to approve that content, to quality control it. So both, and we call that a site director section, because once we give you your soapbox, we give you a little section that's your own, and you can organize that content. You can disapprove it, approve it, modify it, edit, all the things that come to the site. You can change the sections. I mean, that's pretty much your control panel for the whole site, and it's all via a browser. So in that, we've kind of taken care of the garage, the street. Really? Well, at least it looks nice.
Actually, let's do this. Well, we can stay here in the site director section.
Okay. Well, this is we'll try and work out that what would have happened is a small applet comes up that just has you choose the section of the site. If we were going to submit an article, so we would probably say article, poetry, let's move on that, and then possibly Lord of the Rings. And from there, it would take you in. You would fill out the title. Can we get a submit article from here? You know, a teaser, subtitle, and then the content. And they're all form-based. So now is this IE? Restart IE. The Java console was disabled. So that's what it would be, and it's just a bunch of forms. It's like going and filling out your name and address and email for a mailing list. It's that simple, and then you submit it. It's in the database, and it goes to the site director section to be approved. And if you happen to be the site director, then it's automatically approved. And that's how simple it is. So from contribution to submission, and approval can be done in about 60 seconds. And it can be up on front of the site. And that's really what we were looking at, because in a community, you value changing content, content that changes rapidly, that is rich, because in a community, you want people to revisit. You want them to revisit multiple times in a day, in a week, in whatever their duration is, and you want them to stay for a while, to have lots of new stuff to look at, new things and new people to dialogue with and new conversations. To include themselves in. And those kind of things keep people coming back. I mean, if you look in our own lives, our best friends most of the time are the people that understand us, that most of the time they're like us, or they're totally opposite us, and we value that. And we're able to dialogue, talk with them, and that our conversation is valued. And their conversation and what their feedback is valued. And it's the same thing online. Okay. Fabulous. So I think we want to show this to you. So just to tell you a little bit like about Enthusiast specifically, this platform, a soapbox as I've called it, is constantly growing. And if you want to do a content site, I would partner with other people who you may want to do. Okay, well, we'll just, it's okay. because a project like this, sometimes many people coming together is, in our experience, has been beneficial, because when the technology is centralized, meaning rather than everybody create their own proprietary system, come together, get some minds together, create a system that works for all your needs, and then create it rather generic in the background, in the databases and things. Is it coming on?
Well, it's going to just submit it to the people.
Okay. Because in doing so, that you may be able to use the same back end, which is what we have for all of the sites. You can use the same databases, which really makes your creation time much smaller. I apologize for all these difficulties here. Do you guys, computers are small children. That's right. Sometimes they're nothing more than an expense. Is that right? But you love them, as I do. Do you guys have any questions just while we deal with this?
Before we start, there are two simple rules. One, please raise your hand so the panelists recognize you. And two, if you have any questions or comments, please let the microphone get to you. So we are recording this for posterity and the website. Thank you.
Now I got to think about what I was going to say. I may have to edit it. I'm on the more bitter end. I've been running an online community for about 3 years, and it's had its ups and downs. And I'm actually interested in what you think administrators have on their responsibility plate for.
Just close all the browsers. We don't need it. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Just what administrators' responsibilities are to a couple of bad apples who may not completely break the rules but are certainly making it unfun for everybody else, and situations such as that, which maybe I'm hypothetically speaking has not happened to me in the past couple of months or anything, but it's a question I struggle with, so I'm always interested to know what other people are doing with their communities.
That's definitely the hardest part, I think, is being the benevolent dictator almost at times. And
I've been called a tyrant.
The tyrant. Well, yeah. That's almost as bad as me. But, yeah, well, we tend to figure that at TolkienOnline.com we've developed a pretty strong group of people that almost police themselves sometimes. And so when there are bad apples, they tend to kick them out themselves a lot. There are times when I've removed users and I've banned them, things like that, and it almost seems like that they're every 6 months we go through some sort of growing pain with these people, and but it always seems to work itself out. I don't really sweat over it that much, and if there is somebody I know who's causing a problem, I will first go to that person specifically, ask them to stop, ask them to just take it easy, take a few days off from whatever they've been posting on the message board or whatever articles they've been submitting, and then if they continue to do it, I'll just ban them, because I know that the good of the many outweighs the good of the one. So that's how I approach it. I think in the end that the majority will survive, and the majority that is good in the community that we've developed, then the one bad apple that tends to spoil the whole bunch sometimes.
And I think also that going back to the small child analogy, that if you let a child take license for the first 8 years of their life and then suddenly inflict great limits on their life, they're just going to rebel. But if you start out in the beginning with a policy, hopefully explicit, but I mean you can make it implicit by your actions towards them, that doesn't tolerate those kind of things, it will still happen. But what we've seen is that the kind of implicit policy has been given to the users themselves. Our message board has over 2,000 plus users that contribute to it continuously, and so sometimes we hear about things and then we go and check the message board, and there's already been like 7 or 8 messages by other people saying that, you're an idiot, you shouldn't do these things, and discouraging that. So all we need to do is really just remove the post or remove the thread, and there's nothing else about it. We didn't have to enforce anything, because from the beginning, we've maintained that these are the limits that we, you know, we're family friendly. J.R. Tolkien and The Hobbit are very popular with kids, and all of our sites will be family friendly. That's the way it is, and we try and always discuss that in a positive light. Not, we are going to close your mouth and stifle you, but rather we are going to open this up for the masses. We want people of all ages to enjoy what we have here. And I think most of the time, people are middle of the line. The other users will cling to that and say, we'd rather it be that way. And they'll do a lot of the enforcement for you. But nonetheless, there are some people who bark. And you just have to remember that their bark is louder than their, you know, or more hurtful than their bite. Because you just ban them and then you know, you go on. It's another day and there's another 1,000 posts and people get over it, you know.
After they say they're going to boycott your site and start a petition to bring back Spider and all that. After that, yeah.
But see, yeah, I mean, by that time you'll have loyal followers who just discourage that. So.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to really monitor a community. I'm the type of person that likes to allow everybody to have what they have to say. I'm a lot more free reigning than Jonathan and John here. But I think that the one thing that is important is, and the thing that we've noticed on our site, is that once you do set the standard and you say this is what it is and people start complaining about it, at some point you don't even have to respond. You don't really even have to respond to them. You just say this is my site and you can just be a jerk about it. But the point of doing that is that at a certain point that we've gotten to on our site, if we go in and we delete a thread or if we go in and we remove a message or we say, no, you can't do that, people don't complain anymore. They know they've been wrong. The rules have been set up, and this was set up months ago, and they know that they were wrong. It's just like when you're a kid, you know, and your parents just looked at you the wrong, you know, and you're like, oh, God, I'm in trouble. So.
Well, if I could, are there any more questions? I'd like to... You know, we've already went there, so I don't want to cut us off prematurely. Our little Java applet did come up, unfortunately.
Hi. One of the problems I've been having is, the amount of lurkers to the amount of active participants is, you know, sort of a 5-to-1 ratio. How do you turn people who are, you know, just coming to look around? How do you encourage
them to
participate?
That is a very good question, and that's probably right now one of the primary things we deal with is getting those people who are stagnant lurkers to be active participants. And one of the things I spoke of earlier were incentive programs. A lot of people came out of the woodwork when we had our skins contest and we gave away a digital camera and millennium copies of Lord of the Rings and Wacom wireless tablets and things like that, and people that were lurkers before really came out, and some people contributed 10, 12 items to that one 30-day contest. And these are making pretty sophisticated images. So I think that's one of the things, is that people on the Internet is synonymous with free stuff. And I think that we just got to jump on that bandwagon and say, yeah, you know, free stuff. And, you know, you can go to iwon.com and you know, see if you can be, you know, search your lights out, right? But or you can just a site you're already familiar with, you want to take ownership, and I think the incentive program is an encouraging factor in that, and trying to have something. We're actually formulating an incentive program that doesn't require cash, that the users of the site will contribute the prizes. I mean, it could be, you know, some people get weird. It could be their sock they autograph or something. We don't know what it's going to be, but nevertheless, it's provocative enough and that it's very appealing to people. And so then it's a self-fulfilling a contribution system, because they contribute the prizes, which somebody wins, and they contribute it back, and it just keeps going and propelling. And we hope that that's going to grow the population of the lurkers versus the participants.
The other thing that we do is we have a section for newbies on our site, for what we call Tolkien virgins. And a lot of times people, there's several things that end up getting posted there. One, we have a section where we have someone who's going through Lord of the Rings the first time. But we also have there where we welcome all the new people that are coming to our site. And that really encourages people to actually speak up, because if new people are coming to the site and they're seeing how well they're treated by everybody, going, oh, great, thanks for joining the community, you'll find it's a lovely time here, whatever they have to say, that will end up getting them to contribute. That's one of the ways to get someone to contribute, is to actually make them feel like it's safe and like they're known. And so the way we've done that is that we have a whole section that's dedicated to it. Anything you want to add?
No, that's it.
Any other question? Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
I apologize for all the technical difficulties here. Computers are normally my friend.
My question, I guess, is more technical in nature. You say that the entire site is database-driven. I'm assuming it's an SQL technology.
We're using MySQL.
Which
we have our own database server on FreeBSD box, and then everything else we have an Apache web server running on NT, which we're stuck with because we're using a program called Cold Fusion. You understand?
No, okay. I just wanted to.
Yeah, okay. And so
because we're stuck with Cold Fusion, they have a Linux version of it, and a Unix version of it, and a Solaris version of it, but each of those aren't as stable as we would like, and so we're waiting for that to move. But right now we're using the MySQL because it's free and mm-hmm. it's stable, and we're using the BSD because FreeBSD because it's
free
as well.
Mm-hmm. Was that your question?
That was basically my question. At the user end, how are you structuring the SQL queries? Using Java or?
No, Cold Fusion actually is very much like ASP, except for it's all tag-based. Mm-hmm. Everything is put into tags as opposed to into a script-like format. Cold Fusion also has a script interface, but we are using the queries. And so in Cold Fusion, the statement would be bracket CF query, data source equals this, and then you just type in your SQL statement, and then it's closed the CF query tag with the bracket, just like you would in a normal bold statement or whatever. And then the thing will go and run that query and store it in as a variable, as in the variable space, and then you can refer to it with the query name dot and then the variable or the column names. In that case, then we're able to do just about anything we want to with it. We have an image gallery where we've stored all sorts of stuff. So,
of course, all of that's transparent to the user.
Of course.
Okay. Now, how are you getting from the user to that?
For example, like with the image gallery, we have several programs which will upload images. We can then manipulate the images on the server depending on how that's done. With articles, they're just typed into text forms. The forms then are interpreted by the server to put them into the database. And so it's actually all forms. Mm-hmm. Is it working, John, yet? Or is this next?
And we're going to abandon the online demo.
Okay, your quality assurance, I guess, at the, where the buck stops is with, human being on your staff.
That's right.
Correct.
We encourage, I think it's automation with strategic points of human intervention. And really that's because there's not 25 hours in a day. That's the primary objective is time and leveraging, other people's talent, but also freeing up our own time and whoever the director is. The only points of contact are, one, the quality control when they first approve the article, and then second being when they view it online.
Okay.
And there's just a field on there which is a status on the technical level, there's a field in the database which is status, which can be unapproved, approved, or...
Unchecked.
Unchecked. We haven't checked that it is approved yet or not. So that'll remove something from the system, and ever so often we'll do house cleaning and then get rid of all the stuff that's unapproved.
Mm-hmm. And all the stuff that's unchecked, I assume, is as a site administrator,
exactly.
You can come up and it will give you a list of things you have pending.
Yeah, actually, this is our site director section. Up at the top there, you can see where there's a list of all the unapproved stuff, which there isn't anything because we just launched the DragonCon site.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see here I have... It defaults to unfulfilled, so that if you have hundreds and hundreds of articles coming in, when you press submit, it'll default to the things that have not been viewed. But these things have all been approved, so we're going to say I want to see all of them. And I'm going to search. and it just shows you ready to edit all of the articles that are there. Here's one. You've stepped into the future. DragonCon.com opens, and you can view this article as it appears. It's a really did I click that? I guess so.
It's having issues with pop-up windows.
Yeah, we got issues on this computer. But anyways, you can see how easy that you can edit this. You see the submission approved right here, yes or no. And as soon as you click no, it pulls it off the site. And we have a system to go through that for all the sites, that anything that's that is unapproved for over 30 days gets deleted automatically. So that's really how so there can't be any really. If the site director takes something off and says, oh, I needed that, he's got 30 days to figure that out.
Okay. So. The site director, I take it from this, has the ability also to edit. Mm-hmm. In other
correct.
Words, I submit
yeah,
you content, can. You mm-hmm. could edit it.
Yeah, correct. And that's, you know, that happens. You got a 12-year-old who submits an article because he loves J.R.R. Tolkien or because of whatever, and his grammar isn't the best. You might want to correct that. And that's because, you know, it's just a text box. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Any other questions?
This is just kind of to show you this, that the edit question you had. You can either edit upon submission, or if later you find out there are some errors, you can then go to the edit, and it will list out, obviously for DragonCon, it just opened yesterday, so there's three articles. And you could just click on one of these, and it will bring up the edit, the thing you saw before with all of the form fields. This is really actually almost identical to the submission. Everything uses form fields. That's how easy it is. You can selectively spell check certain words using our find and replace database. Everything upon insert goes through a find and replace using another database that you've created. So that if DragonCon is in your database somewhere, but you want to switch DragonCon with DragonCon.com and the link to it, it'll do that dynamically. It's another benefit of a database. You can see all the things that you can edit here from any location in the world, and that's really what's powerful, too, to free up your time, is that you can do it from anywhere there's a connection. I can access it via my cell phone with my Palm Pilot at 9600 baud. So we're pretty much bringing everybody in at this point. You know, it's like using links on this thing. So we really want to bring in as many people as possible and not have any technical limitations such as we experienced today. So I think that is about it for our time. Is there one more question anywhere? Okay, up front. No, you can ask us now.
I was just going to ask how much user control do they have over their articles? Can they edit them and delete them themselves?
They cannot edit or delete them.
Once they submit it, it's pretty much out of their hands. When they do submit it, they get a review screen, and they can click an edit there. If they see an error, they can re-edit it there. But once it's been submitted, they can't, currently as our technology stands, they can't go in and re-edit it. I'd like to get it so that they can go in and see all the articles, because once it's been approved to the site director's liking, and you don't want a person to go back in there and say, ha, 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 okay, I got you now, and go and change something. So,
okay. And there's
with a database, you should be able to,
Oh, yeah, we could do
we
that.
We can do that.
But it's
The reason for it is, one, like for images, for example, when someone uploads an image from our system, we auto-generate a thumbnail, we make it searchable via keywords, everything for them. So to go back and edit that image is kind of futile because it's already made. And so our philosophy is that why don't you just resubmit it? You know, we'll disapprove your earlier one, and then we'll reapprove your new one.
Well, that would make sense for images. Text, you should be able to.
And you see this here. This is this box right here that I'm pointing to is when you submit an article, there's a place where you can send a message to the site director saying, hey, this is the second attempt of my image called yatatata. Please disapprove the first one and approve this one and make it replace that. And it's kind of a communication means between the site director and the user rather than using email, you know what I mean? So they can connect the two. So that's kind of what...
All right. So a user can't delete something once they've submitted it?
They would have to ask us to do that.
No, and we, when they sign up to be a submitter to any enthusiast site, they consent that anything they submit unless we make special arrangement, is under our jurisdiction. And so, you know, if we find it to be inappropriate for families or something, we're going to pull it off, you know. And,
okay,
and in the same way, that, yeah, if they don't want something there, we'll take it off, obviously, because they submitted it. But they just need to tell us.
Excellent.
I encourage all of you to, if you have an idea for a community online and you want to start a few steps forward, we open up our platform to anybody who wishes to use it, who has an idea. We encourage you to do what you love, and we'd love to help you do that. So if you have any questions afterwards about enthusiast technology and how it can work for you, we encourage you to talk to us. So thank you very much for coming. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but... thanks for coming.